May 5, 2023, it's Walk for Pedro show. Show. Happy Friday. Started off with John Coltrane with Dizzy Gillespie. 1951, live from Birdland, unknown radio broadcast of yesterday's. Then Don Hagen with New Rage Ambient Metal Music Machine. And because of those Estonian software engineers and their Skype adventure, I got with me Don Hagen, welcome aboard, brother Don.
Hello.
We got to give credit right off the bat to Randolph for the connect.
Yeah, thanks, Randolph.
Absolute. Now, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, my household growing up, we listened to a lot of music, a lot of, you know, the Joe from Blues Brothers, both kinds, country and western, but also like a lot of rock, a lot of early rock, like Buddy Holly and Elvis. A lot of that was always around when I was growing up.
That's your earliest memory is Elvis and old rock and roll.
Yeah.
And some country and western. It's all music, right? Fuck you, Elvis. Yeah. So in this pad you grew up, was there musical instruments in the pad?
There was not, no.
Okay. What about at grade school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Oh, fuck no. No, like in grade school, no. I mean, I did make a drum kit out of like old like stumps and pieces of wood when I was probably like the second grade. I did get to playing saxophone in middle school and end up playing in jazz bands in middle school.
Alto, tenor?
I played alto and baritone.
Baritone?
Yeah.
Jerry Mulligan. Okay, some West Coast. And did you dig it?
You know, it was, yes and no. I did dig it. It was really pretty, like, you know, middle school band is pretty shitty, Mike. They're trying to turn you into a music player instead of, like, really an appreciator. What was the turning point for me was, like, when the older high school kids came over to show us their jazz improv band and blew my mind. You know, there's like these guys who are just a bit older that were like skronking and it sounded awesome. I loved it.
And the program you were with was not like that.
No, it was, I mean, we're still learning our instruments. And right. So, and you know, you've heard middle school music. I mean,
yeah. And also, like between like you and them high school cats, only a couple years, but no, that stage of your life, a couple years is big time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I didn't smoke weed yet or had like my first beer or anything yet. So it was a big difference.
Okay. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, the first record I bought was the 7-inch of I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett.
Joan Jett.
And the Blackhearts. Yeah.
Right. And the Blackhearts. Had a bass player look like Darby.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
those cats. What about first gig you saw?
You know, it's funny. It's like it was probably some local punk band playing at a house.
That's good enough.
Well, wait, take it back. I saw Oregon Jam with Joan Jett, actually. In the,
all right.
So with Joan Jett and, like, Blue Oyster Cult, my aunt took me. So that was my first big show. But, like, the show that really made a difference was, like, the first punk show I went to.
I saw Joan Jett when she was kind of the leader of the Runaway. They got rid of the lead singer, and she was the main. And then I also saw her. She took over the role of singer for this band called The Gits after their singer was murdered. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's an amazing person, I think. And, like, you know.
She was really important to the Hollywood punk scene in the 70s. Really important, yeah.
Didn't she, like, produce, like, The Germs?
G.I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that album, G.I. Yeah, I love that album. And, man, to see that band while they were practicing to record that album, that was the peak of their gigs, man. They were just so bitchin', so beautiful.
Sweet. That's awesome.
So, okay, did you ever, that tree stump trap set, did you ever share that experience with other musicians?
You know, I don't think I've ever told another living soul that. So, no, I didn't.
And the thing, not like after school, like graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get into the bedroom band, basement band, garage band thing?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, later in my teens, I was, like, really into, like, learning how to play guitar. I, like, discovered punk rock and, like, metal. And I just, like, was in my room playing guitar all the time. And then a little bit older, 15, decided, like, oh, I could do this with a band. And we started playing in, you know, playing in a friend's garage. And
how did you get that first guitar? Was it a present? Or did you ask for it? Or did you buy it with your own money?
I worked and bought it with my own money.
Yeah, great. And what about the teaching part? Did you teach yourself, like, learn songs off records? Or did you go to a teacher?
You know, I mean, at that time, so I was learning off of records.
Yeah.
And
that's how me and D Boone did.
and picking up like magazines and like doing reading tablature, and like it wasn't really my scene though, because it's like all like shredder metal stuff.
Yeah, a lot of notes, not a lot of feel. A lot of notes, but not a lot of feel.
Exactly.
Something about that. Yeah, something about that. Well, I think my pops clued me in. He said, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit.
Hey, you know, if it sounds bad, just turn it up.
That guitar, and you must have got an amp, right? It wasn't an acoustic.
It wasn't an acoustic. It was an electric guitar. I really wanted a rock guitar. It was like this National SG, like Gibson copy of SG.
And like, this band, it was probably the drummer's house you jammed. You tell me.
you nailed it. Yeah, of course it was the drummer's house. So, yeah.
Did you guys have a name?
Little Fender Champ Amp, and what's that?
Did you guys have a name, or was it just a practice band?
Oh, no, we had a name, the Nuclear Mutinous Dogs.
Now, the Nuclear Mutinous Dogs, what was that first gig like?
You know, it was at a house, and we played with, this hippie band, but they were like, we thought of them as being hippies, but they were really pretty cool. They were kind of like a T-Rex type of band, and we played with like some other like gothic-y punk band at the time, and it was a fucking blast.
So you would call the gig a success, yeah.
Yeah. We sounded terrible, but it was great.
And the material, was it all like music you guys wrote yourself, or did you do covers?
It was all our own stuff.
Wow. So you're writing your own stuff. Can you remember the first song you wrote?
You know, I don't. I know how to play it.
And did you write words too, or was it instrumental music?
It was, I didn't write the words, but we did have our own, we had a vocalist that wrote his own words. So it wasn't instrumental. It was really hard, like American hardcore influence for sure.
Okay. And how long this band last?
You know, we played 2 or 3 years, you know. But it's like one of those things, you know, like those are, you know, like those people are like brothers to me still. So, like, they're still in my life. At least one of them is.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Music can do that, keep people together. And what about your music path? It kept going, right? But
yeah,
you know what? What's a trip? Brother Don, I got to say, I don't hear a lot of guitar in this music you gave me.
No, you must have
made a transition somewhere.
Yeah, I did. So, like, you know, I was like, after the high school band situation, you know, the high school garage punk band, started playing like this more of an arty punk band when I was late teens, early 20s, called Holy Rodent. And it was like really influenced by like German industrial and tribal music and like stuff like Wire and post-punk stuff and Sonic Youth. And I started like, you know, playing in this band a lot. And we started doing like a lot of tape loops and stuff for between our songs for our gigs. And we used a lot of noise. And I really gravitated towards that. I really liked that part of it.
Now, you were still on guitar, right?
I was. I was doing guitar, but I started doing, like, tape loops and started, like, messing around with synthesizers, too.
Okay. So this is where you make the transition. I want to play this music you gave me. Forgotten Places Part 3.
Thank you. a string of paper dolls on a clothesline hung. Best minds the age began. Giant shovel
Lot from Pedro Show, that chunk of music, star of Don Hagen with Forgotten Places Part 3 and Pelican Man. This is me and Petra's musical treatment of Charlie Plamel's Planet Chernobyl poem. Became an opera. This is part 5 of 15. So, next 10 episodes, we'll play you the next 10 parts, one at a time. Reg Bloor, brand new album. She helped, I think it was, John Meyer conducted, but Reg was running a lot of it when I did the Symphony No. 13 of Glenn Branca. Alone on the Cyclone from her new album. Pengo, Frog Suit after that. Head Boggle, Meese Bay, Hip Shot Dance. Itchy Self out of Quebec, Reprobate. Finally, Don Hagen, Drunk on Clown's Blood. Okay, so were these guys called Rodent?
It was called Holy Rodent.
Holy Rodent, yeah. Now, do you get... I didn't ask if you recorded with the other cats, but did you record with them or Holy Rodent?
We did. With New Guinea and his dogs, we recorded, but we didn't release anything. We gave tapes for our friends.
Yeah.
Rodent, we actually did record and did a lot of experimentation with different kinds of media, but we didn't release a whole lot. It was pretty grassroots at the time.
Like recording in your prac pad?
Yeah. So it was like, we'd record on 4-track and make tapes.
And were you just one of the musicians, or were you in charge of the record?
I was in charge of, like, everything with that. booking shows, loading up and unloading the van.
People got to understand, that's an important part of punk. It's not really a style of music. It's a way of doing shit.
Yeah, I learned a lot. I learned a lot of life lessons with that.
Yeah. Okay. And hands-on, record. I love the way a lot of music people are recording themselves these days. Part of it's the technology is more econo, but I also think it's a change of mind. People are just, I could do that. I could try. Yeah.
It's really cool. I just, it was like the whole, the punk ethos.
Right.
And do it yourself.
Right. And so how long does the Holy Road go?
We were together probably off and on for, almost 10 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. And what happened? Just ran its course?
Yeah, it kind of ran its course. People changed and we kind of, grew apart.
Well, can I ask you, as in those 10 years as a Holy Rodent, did you change? Because you said you were getting into those tape loops. Were you leaving the guitar and going towards that area more?
In that band, I really felt like I could do whatever I wanted to. So it was like I was doing tape loops more and stuff, but guitar was still important to me, and it still is. The immediacy of your instrument is really nice. But I was also really learning about a lot of other things. The 90s were a crazy time for music, right?
Yeah.
I was getting into bands like The X from the Netherlands.
They were, but they go way back. They're like Miniman days,
You started picking up free jazz through punk and learning about John Cage through Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
It was a pretty wide opening. It was an education.
Gateway drug.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but you kept mainly to guitar and tape loops in Holy Rodent, and then Then after that ends, what's the next music move for you?
I started doing solo stuff because I was really enjoying doing the tape loops and this noisier stuff from that band. So I started doing my own solo stuff under the name Human Monster.
Do you remember the first Human Monster gig?
Yeah, I do. It was in a basement, and I had a huge piece of scrap metal, sheet metal, I was dragging across the cement floor with a contact mic.
Were you hit to the... a music artist named Zev?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because his whole thing was metal. He almost get killed by the shit. It's hanging by chains and shit.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to book a show for him here.
Oh!
Years later, and then I was on an artist panel with him in New York, which was awesome because he was kind of an idol of mine.
Yeah, I always dug him. And I had a cat on, can't remember his name now, but he's Chicago Cat. He took care of him in his last days when the cancer was killing him.
Oh, yeah. Was it Blake?
That's right, Blake. Great cat.
Good dude.
Great cat. Yeah. Much respect.
Definitely.
So you think you dragging that sheet metal, you were channeling a little Zev there?
You know, absolutely. I mean, like, one of the things that was important to me when I was still in high school was, like, I got the Industrial Handbook.
Oh, yeah.
The research book.
Sure.
And, like, Zev was in there, and, like, Throbbing Gristle.
Throbbing Gristle.
If it wasn't for that book, I probably wouldn't have started the band Holy Rodin, which was definitely influenced by all that stuff.
Ah, so you didn't join Holy Rodin. You actually started it. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And so would you consider that first, what is it, Scary Monster?
Oh, Human Monster.
Human Monster. Yeah, Scary Monster is an Italian promoter and then Christian. Yeah. Senior moment, sorry. But anyway, the first Human Monster gig was a success.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Love to hear that. Because I always ask that because I've had so much shit thrown at me and stuff, so I ask. Because sometimes somebody has a negative gig, but usually they're good ones, which is good news. So, do you record with Human Monster?
There is like a tape that I don't even have anymore, but yeah, there is some recordings out there. I would do like one-off tapes and like steel glue it to a car door and give it to somebody.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty impractical.
Yeah. I remember once I was at Thirst Pad in New York City, and he's got, you know, all these records. And this one record, I guess they stuck in the sleeve before it was cool. So it was all stuck. You couldn't play it. It was stuck in there. It's just, you know, yeah, he's a collector.
Yeah.
And I remember the first non-45 I got. It had two holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, one like, you know, about 2 inches off center, so it was like, woo, woo, woo. Yeah, that's when he was interesting. He, I think, turned into a Nazi later. But so you're man alone for Human Monster.
I am, yeah.
Okay, when do you begin as Don Hagen?
You know, that happened about 12 years ago. So, I mean, I went from Human Monster, and then I started doing Warning Broken Machine, which was another...
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that.
So, yeah, I did that for quite a while, you know, probably for 8 years, and it was noisier, but I was, like, more influenced, I was more aware, and...
Was it still a one-man job?
It was still a one-man job. I mean, I would do collaborations, but mostly a one-man job.
Okay. And how would you say it was different from Human Monster?
I moved away from tapes and just doing a lot more just like harsh noise using pedals and contact mics. And I started building my own stuff at that time too. So I was building my own equipment.
And like you said, you only made one tape that you don't even have with Human Monster. But what about with this next project? Do you do more recording?
Yeah. It's on a ton of compilations and there's... there are some CDs, some tapes, but it was a lot of compilations. You know, the noise scene had actually grew up at that point, and the internet took off.
Okay, so you're like trading and sharing stuff with other fellow like-minded people.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and what do we call that? Community, the C-word, people.
Oh, absolutely.
It's important. I mean, you can be man alone and operate man alone, but it's sure happening when there's, like, kind of a fucking community.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I've met all of my close friends through music.
Really?
Yeah.
So would you say that music's a lifeline? Because I truly believe that.
You know, I think the creative life is a lifeline. You know, it's like people who are creative, however they live, you know, is the lifeline.
Ah, you mean whatever medium they choose to express himself.
Exactly. You know. We don't hang around a bunch of stiffs.
That's right. There's too much of that already. They already filled that quota. But Don, we're at the beginning. No, we're at the end of the first hour, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2023 edition Watt Pito Show. Special guest Don Hagen. Hold tight for hour two. May 5th, 2023. It's second hour Watt from Pito Show.
Watching, I was walking across the stars.
Watch for Pedro's show. Yeah, we're just tripping out on what Pedro's show in 2 weeks is going to be fucking 22 years old. And we started the second hour off with Black Ruin Air. That is a title. Brand new Arabia Sadata from Milano in Italy with Ecuador. All the tunes are named after South American countries. Don Hagen and Michael Esposito with Keep Praise the Doctor. So, this is the first collab that I played on the show. Tell me about Michael Esposito.
You know, he uses EVP recordings, electro voice phenomenon recordings, and he put together like this fundraiser during the pandemic. He sent like all these artists some of his recordings. He sent all of us the same recordings of like five different clips, you know, and everybody just made their tracks based off of that, off what he sent. And there's like over 100 tracks on this compilation.
And a lot of them aren't unique. Well, they're unique because of the collab part.
Right.
Because they have, a lot of them have the same core, right? What he gave to start the ball rolling.
Yeah, it's like this like staticky voice type stuff.
So there are like a million ways to fucking react to it, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
It was smart. It was like he provided the canvas.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and how'd you meet him?
You know, I met him through a mutual friend, Scott Jenrick.
Okay, that's how it works.
Yep, that's how it works, man.
Now, this Black Ruin Air, let's talk about titles. When do they come in your composition process?
You know, they come usually when I'm done or if I'm getting close to being finished. And that's when they come to me. They come to me when they come to me, Mike. You know, you never know. Sometimes,
okay.
I don't go in with a title first. It's like, you know, you don't want to name your baby until it's born.
Yeah, but that's why I asked that question, because I do name my babies before they're born, because I can't write a song. I need something to focus on. But that's why I asked that question, because, like, hardly anybody does that shit. I did have somebody on a couple days ago. They said, yeah, because then you know how to, you know, rally everything to aid and abet.
Yeah, okay. You know, sometimes they'll have the inspiration first.
Yeah.
You know, and so sometimes it happens, but it doesn't happen very often. Normally it's a process. And, you know, for me, it's like all about the process. I love making the music more than anything.
Right. But then, yeah, you have to give it a name, gave the baby a name. So, wow, Black Ruin Air.
Uplifting, right?
Yeah, totally. And what about Keep Praising? Now, did Michael supply any titles? He just supplied the music he wanted you guys to play off of.
Yeah. So the stuff he sent us was like not music. He sent off like these.
Well, that was
tracks.
Kind of a Cajun, right? Because what is music, right?
Right. So he sent off these tracks and like it was. Different, you know, he had them named different things, and
okay.
I picked the words out from what he thought he heard in the EVPs.
Yeah,
and so I kind of took them and morphed them around to something that made sense to me.
And you never checked in with him whether he really said that.
No.
Okay. Here's Wire 2.
Okay.
Watt from Pedro Show. Fucking hit mute the monitor, you fucking idiot. Watt, you've been doing 22 years, you're still blowing clams. Wire 2. Wire with Roman numeral 2, people. I know he said he was influenced by Wire, but maybe. Don Hagen. And then Scraper Papers after that with Nature. And then, what was the title of that third guy?
The Silent Blind Tines.
Silent Blind Tines, people. There was a little pilot error there, but Don came to rescue and saved my sorry ass.
Yes.
And so, do you remember the first gig you did as Don Hagen?
I do, yes.
Now, how did that differ from scraping, dragging the thing Zev influenced?
The sheet metal and contact mics.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, you know, I was, you know, it was about 12 years ago, older, slower mind, a little bit calmer, a little bit less angry at the world. I was taking things a lot slower and more thought out and started going with more continuous long tones and, you know, a little bit less pissed at the world, you know?
And you evolved out of the tape loop thing totally, right?
You know, it comes back sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't given up on tape.
Okay. And, you know, off air, you were enlightening me the fact that, yeah, you used a hearing test machine to as a musical instrument.
Yeah.
So what went into Wire 2 and, yeah, the silence?
Yeah, Wire 2, is like I did an entire album with, only thing I was using was 100 feet of galvanized 5-pound steel wire. And I stretched that motherfucker across my backyard.
Yeah.
Hooked up a contact mic to it.
Yeah.
And just recorded it. And like would rub my fingers on it. It would rain. The wind would blow it. And that's what that is.
You mean like the contact mic was on one end of it? Or was it in the middle? Or okay. It was on so one end. So if you touched on the other end, it'd have to go through all that fucking.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the resonance and all the strip. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, I was using galvanized steel. It's like really dead tone.
Right, right.
Fire.
Okay. So not a lot of resonance.
No.
Trippy. So you think the materials that you choose to work with kind of dictates the piece?
It does. I like really try hard not to repeat myself with what I'm using.
And that kind of so the fundamentals, the situation that you set up, right, is really important that way.
It is. So
on the conceptual level, you're looking for some fertile ground, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like anything could be musical for, you know, anything that I can make sound out
absolutely.
Of, I could use. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so how do you, what nails it for you?
You know, it's like you could feel it. You could feel it like when something works, you could just feel it inside.
Do you ever cut rope? Like, whoa, this ain't happening.
All the time.
Oh, okay. So there must be an art to that, like, so you don't waste your fucking time, right? You know, like, hey, I tried, this didn't happen. Let's try another approach.
Yeah, you know, that's like when the punk rocker in me comes out a little bit. It's like, hey, this isn't fucking working. Let's turn it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, with a certain amount of volume, anything works, Mike.
So it's sort of like duct tape.
Exactly. I mean, that's like this Wire project. It was like, I had this.
Oh, that's why the name.
Yeah.
Fuck, of course.
So that's why, I was recording. I was like, recording. I was like, fuck, this is boring. It doesn't sound like anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I'm like, just cranking it up.
Well, did you ever investigate, like, field shit?
Like field recording?
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I definitely do, but, you know, I'm not one to go out and record, like, seagulls and stuff.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's sort of like photography out in the wild, right? You can't really set up the shots. You got to wait for it to happen.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'll go out and record stuff, and then I'll never use it. So I have, like, you know, hours of, like, Brickley and Brooks, you know, streams and shit, but I'm never going to use it.
So that was going to be another question. You do have like a library, a trove, an archive.
Sort of, but like I'm really bad about that stuff. I mean, I'll record it with the idea of going back to it, but yeah. When I sit down to do stuff, I'm looking forward and not so much backwards.
You know, and also the way, how do you, like, I don't know, you know, give the tags, how do you know what it is, you know, without having to listen to the whole fucking thing again?
Well, you know, it's because I spend time with it. Okay. Yeah, I spend some time with it. And, you know, I'm really, like I said, like, naming my babies, but, you know, I name the babies and I forget about them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they got their own lives, right? They got to live their own lives, right?
You know, I don't like looking back so much. It's like, I like to just, I like making more. So it's like, I'm always like in the moment.
So like you not having that tape of that human monster, that ain't an accident. You just don't, you know, you move on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I haven't had it for 20 years. Like, you know, it doesn't make me miss my lunch.
No, it was a chapter and the story continues. Right, right.
Exactly.
Like fucking time the freight train that won't fucking stop. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, May 5, 2023 edition, Watt Peter Show special, guest Doug Hoggins. Hold tight for hour three. May 5, 2023, the third hour of the Watt Peter Show.
I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you.
Watch the Pedro Show. Start off the third hour, Don Hagen. Personal Business from North Carolina, Eugene Chadbourne. Zurich Dobro Breakdown. And then finally, Don Hagen. Silent Blind Tynes. Tynes, people, is how a fucking Fender Rhodes works. This keyboard, yeah, they're little thick pieces of... Well, they ain't too thick, but they ain't real thin either. They're kind of like a metal reed. And that's how they work. And the way you tune them is you extend them or you retract them up. And they got their own sound. Leo Fender, you know, he could play piano. He didn't play bass or guitar, but he did play piano. So trippy kind. And the Fender Rhodes has a sound. So I'm curious about the top. Were you thinking anything about a Fender Rhodes there, Don, about Silent Blind Tynes?
I was not. I do appreciate those instruments. They sound beautiful.
You know, you're aware of Screamers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Paul Rossler plays a Fender Rhodes through a fuzz tone. So it would be like kind of a fuzz guitar.
Yeah. So sick. It's like I just listened to the Screamers a couple weeks ago. It still blows my mind.
What, like the Target Video stuff or... Because they wouldn't make real recordings. They made a demo thing, but they thought records were over. They were only going to make videos.
Yeah, so like they released the demos like
that's
last
right.
year.
That's right.
So good.
And there's live recordings and shit like at the Mabuhe, and they were the first band that could sell out the Whiskey. Not even a guitar, people. If you can believe 70s punk, it wasn't all real fast music yet. Guitar music. That kind of happened with hardcore in the early 80s. Personal Business. Tell me about that, too.
Personal Business. So that was a mail art collaboration with Hal McGee in Florida. He's like a longtime tape trader. And
when you mean collab,
like
when you mean collab, because you didn't put his name in the project.
It wasn't a collab.
Oh, okay.
So he just it's a mail art project. So what he did, he sent out these three-inch CDRs to a handful of artists. And with this theme, and it was just like, we'd record it, send one to an address he sent to me, and then one back to him. And, you know, we'd get copies from other artists of different tracks that they worked with, and it was something that was going on back in 2022. And so this is for the little 3-inch CDR. So I made two copies of that, one for Hal and one for somebody, I don't remember their name.
Whoa. Okay. So, little Taskmaster.
Yeah. The dude's been doing this forever, for decades, like back in the cassette tape trading days.
Ah, you know about Al Margolis?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a project going with him and fucking Walter Wright.
He called it
a Ponzi. Same kind of... Yeah, these guys, they get other cats going. They assign a prod or something. Yeah. And he started with the cassette culture, right? And then moved on to CDR in the 90s. Yeah. Really interesting. Okay. Here's the feeling of self-satisfaction from leading others astray. This is the big baby, people. Thank you. Bob Pepito Show, last music for this edition. Yeah, the whole enchilada. The feeling of self-satisfaction from leading others astray. Don Hagen. And then Tim Hill with French Suite number 2. Sort of like Wire 2, right? And finally, Don Hagen. Panglossian auto-destruct button. I was thinking of, like, all those fucking ways Mission Impossible started. Remember, because after the little tape machine gives him the job, it has to fucking push the self-destruct button, right? Some smoke comes up or some shit.
Yep.
Yeah. So, off there, you were telling me how these babies are actually recorded.
Yeah, I did them all live. You know, so it was like, usually don't do much anything after it's recorded live. I will trim things down, but it's all recorded live. You know, usually in front of people, but not always.
Does it make a difference?
It does. It does make a difference, you know. Like, location makes a big difference, too. So, like, depending on the room I'm in and, like, the sound system and, like, what the audience is like, you know, if I like them or not, or, if, you know, if you're playing in a bar or a gallery, it's going to be
No, here's the best one. Sports bar with 10 fucking TVs going with different channels.
Oh, I would love that.
Ah, the horror. Okay, so do you like going to G.G. Allen mode or what?
You know, no, I don't like, I'm not real big on spectacle, honestly. People would probably say it was a spectacle, so I'd probably be throwing sheet metal around. And I would yell at people and stuff. I'm a little bit less angry, though, now, so I don't know. I mean, I'll probably just drown them out with bass tones.
Okay, so what about the folded arm, hand on the chin, that kind of thing?
Oh, that's the worst.
That's what I was just saying. I think that's worse than getting, like, even a D-sized battery getting thrown at you is bad.
Right. Yeah, well, batteries do hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I got hit square in the chest with one at a flipper gig. It was like, you motherfucker.
Hey, who has not been hit at a flipper gig?
Right. Well, the funniest shit ever thrown at me was, like, I don't know, a dozen used condoms in Vienna.
Oh,
like the nut law, it was the first note of the first tune, and all the power went off. When it comes back on, these things are hanging on my body, on the neck of the bass. I was thinking, somebody did a little bit of labor, a little bit of effort in this.
Like, what do they do, carrying those around with them in their
pocket? Wearing them on their nose, their ear. I don't know. Sacks of shit, sacks of puke, paper ones that rip when they get up there on you. Yeah, terrible things. So, do you ever, like at home, do you have a recording setup?
You know, I live in a pretty small house and I have kids and family, so, like, I put stuff away, but I have a 4-track and I'll record, like, on a little portable digital recorder through a mixer. Yeah. But I don't have anything permanently set up.
Okay, so that's why a lot of these things are taking place at gigs. Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you got planned? Well, let me first ask you, where can people find more info about you on the internet?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a recluse when it comes to that, but I do have a Bandcamp.
Okay.
So it's donhaugen.bandcamp.com.
People, donhaugen.
Yes, you got it.
Bandcamp.com. Yeah. And what's your next plan? What's your next, foray?
You know, I'm going to plan doing some recordings. I have some concepts I really want to get out, and hopefully some live shows. You know, like, I'm still a little doing smaller shows now, but hopefully putting out some vinyl soon.
And what's this concept you want to record?
You had to ask, Mike. You had to ask.
I know, man. Just because you mentioned it, Don.
So I'm thinking about, like, using – I'm going back to the idea of using, like, piano wire.
Yeah.
And using it with magnets and recording – putting contact mics in different spots, but using, like, long pieces of piano wire so it'll be more resonant and with magnets and – trying to create, like, these lush drones with that.
Okay. Lush drones.
Yeah, pretty minimal.
Yeah, but you left that fucking ear testing machine behind?
Oh, for now. But, okay. No, I mean, that was actually just, like, just recorded, like, back in February, so.
Wow, not that long ago.
No, not that long ago.
Wow. Really interesting. I would have guessed in a million years that's what it was. But I'm really intrigued by these magnets in the wire. Because, yeah, trippy thing. I mean, you know, physical mechanical properties that give, you know, let your freak flag fly. Express yourself. Love it. Love it. And I don't know. You know, it seems a lot of cats start bringing in visual. Are you into that? Like slides or lights? Or?
You know, I have. I do. I'm a graphic designer by profession, and I do video work for my livelihood. I shy away from it.
I don't blame you. I don't fucking blame you. Yeah, no problem. I didn't know that, but I could understand. Yeah, I want to do this to get away from work. Yeah, shit. Like the smell of a kitchen, right? Other people might love that chow, but you're there every fucking day. You don't want to chow that. Well, look, can I put an invite? When you get this new wire and magnet kind of dealio going and recorded and done, will you come back on the show and we can play it and you can rap to me about it?
I'd love to. Yeah, I would love that, Mike.
Okay, that's beautiful, beautiful. Please keep it on, Brother Don, please. People, May 5, 2023 edition, what? Pedro, show keep your powder dry.